What's up, everybody? Josh Grisham live alongside Nerd Informants Media. We're bringing you Hollywood's brightest stars and music's biggest names right here. I'm answering the call weekly. It's Hollywood Calling with Josh Grisham on the Branson Podcast Network and all major podcast platforms. It is Josh Grisham live on My 100.1 in the center of the country, bringing the whole world in this morning alongside Nerd Informants Media. And I tell you what, this is a moment for me as an interviewer that just comes full circle, and one of the largest names thus far out of over 130 interviews I've done in my career. It's like I've been waiting for it this entire time. The young man I've got on the show this morning has had a remarkable acting career, and that would be an understatement, with well over 100 credits to this point, spanning from the late 80s. Four upcoming projects in line for him, known for his roles in Morbius and Chernobyl, The Terror and the Crown, The Expanse to Lincoln, Mad Men, Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Resident Evil, to Mr. Deeds. And looking at his career where it's at right now, his most personal project yet comes in the form of The Ghost of Richard Harris, the upcoming documentary of his late father, Richard Harris. It's coming via BritBox. It is set for its premiere on May 9th. Please welcome in the legendary Jared Harris. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Damn, I've been busy.
Yes, you sure have. So, Jared, first things first, I've got to compliment you. I watched the link last night, and let me just say this. From the moment the documentary begins, what a wonderful tribute. It's haunting. It's inspirational. What a portrait of your father. You've got to be proud.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really happy with the way it turned out. We didn't want to do a sort of traditional walk through a life. That would have bored my father.
Yeah.
So we wanted the director to take which he obviously was interested in doing himself, because he had originally started the idea with my father's cooperation. And unfortunately, Dad passed away before they were able to start, but they had been talking about it. And the documentary was going to be an investigation of a personality. It was sort of ask a question, who was Richard Harris?
Yeah.
And essentially, the kind of narrative underpinning for that was an acknowledgement on his behalf that Richard Harris was to some extent an invented or created persona. And so the question is when did he invent that persona? Why did he invent that persona? And who was he down at his, most core level, if you like?
You know, and one of the things that I took away from it, and for me personally as a viewer, it's going to demand repeat viewings because, gosh, you watch it and you unpack it just as you did with your brothers from that first scene where you're in the room where he passed away. And then you move forward to the containers. The moment you and your brothers open those doors, you are going right back in time. And your dad had an equally remarkable career. I mean, the legacy of the Harris family is one thing, but you go back into the 50s where your father's career began, and he was so much more than some of his own parts. And I guess when I say that demands repeat viewings, some of the quotes that your father had, I mean, I want to go back and I want to write them down and just let them sink in. But he was so much more than some of his parts. He was enigmatic. He was fierce. He was wild. He was, I love the term, and I want to make sure I pronounce this right, Rao or Roo. Those experiences for him in a Hellraiser, it's remarkable. It really, really is.
What's Rao Roo? I've never heard that phrase before. What is that?
In the documentary, I believe it is a term to describe a brawl or a fight. I think I have
okay.
That right.
Interesting. All right.
It's mentioned more than once, and I had never heard the term before, and I'm like, okay, it makes sense when he says it, especially when he came out on some of his early interviews. And it was the one that stuck out of my mind is when he came out on the talk show and they pointed out that there was blood on his face. And he's like, well, the rest of me looks really great. I'm like, holy, I've never heard that term.
Yeah, that was on the Dick Cavett show. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. He'd had a punch up the night before.
Yes. Yes.
And there was no avoiding it. There's no amount of makeup was going to cover it up. Yeah.
Well, and
that was part of an image that he had that he fostered as well, was this sort of wild, rambunctious Hellraiser.
And he made, there was a comment made in that, and it might have been a scene where you and your brothers were talking and you were unpacking the belongings and going through this, a veritable time capsule. And you were talking about the life that he had with the connections he made in acting, actors and people that he befriended, that life and then the life
with him and your mother and you kids, and it was hard bringing those two things together and separating. What was that like for you guys growing up?
Well, honestly, I mean, the very early days, I don't have many memories of him. My elder brother does. But by the time that I was forming memories, you know, beyond your proximity to your mother, which is where your first several years of your life are basically focused on.
Yeah.
I don't remember him being there. He was off. He was pursuing his career, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember we were always excited and thrilled whenever he was around. And if he sort of pursued his career in his early life to the exclusion of all else, that changed. You know, he became very dedicated to the family. When we were, by the time he was 7 years old, we were off to boarding school, and he made sure that he was always available during the holidays and his half of the holidays. He took that part very seriously, you know, and I was never left in any doubt that he loved us.
Yeah.
That was never a confusion to me. I knew that he loved us.
Oh, and see, I love that as a dad, that there's that interconnectivity. You've got this figure that is larger than life. And I mean, you talk about globetrotting going back to the 50s. I mean, there's roles that I have yet to explore, going to Camelot and then going further back in time for that, where it all got underway. When you and your brothers unpacked this for the first time, whether it was seeing photographs that you had never seen before, or video clips or interviews and audio, was any part of that difficult for you or eye-opening as you walked down that journey and went back in time?
I mean, that there's that clip in the where my younger brother reads that note in the notebook, and that wasn't staged. None of us knew that was there.
Oh.
There was a lot of the old home footage that we didn't realize was there that the director had managed to dig out. The audio tapes of the phone calls, I mean, I had no clue that those existed. That, you know, there's a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff there. And then, of course, there's a lot of stuff that didn't make it into the documentary, and that's fine because, you know, you can't cover a whole life in 108 minutes. So.
No, there's no way.
Yeah. But I feel like it leaves you curious. You get a really good idea of who he was, and it leaves you with an appetite to find out more. And I think that's a great spot to be in.
Well, and one of the last questions I've got for you, because you've got a very busy tour and we're one of the first spots and we're right up against it. Jared, I just want to ask you again, I really appreciate what Adrian Sibley was able to compose here with this documentary. How proud of you are you of the work that he put together in crafting this for your family?
I think he did a great job. I'm really happy with it. You know, I think that, given how long it took us to put this together, which was over a decade, and the obstacles that one faces is in that your main subject is no longer here and can't speak for himself. I think he did a great job. I'm really happy with it.
To every fan out there of the Harris family, Jared's work, and of course the late Richard Harris's work, I implore you, if it's a small decade or a few years of his career that you are familiar with, you need to watch this documentary, The Ghost of Richard Harris. Unpack it, revisit it, and gain an appreciation of his work. It comes out on May 9th on BritBox. Jared Harris, I wish you a great rest of your tour, my friend. Thank you for taking time to talk to us.
Thank you so much, Josh. Bless you.